Barb's vision that she was just informing us of, her dreams that she always gets. Praise God for that. Really goes with this song. But church, we're singing out, fire come down, fall upon us. But sometimes do we really want that? I know that at times in my life I've sang songs very similar to this, wanting God to shower down his fire upon me. But there was times in my life where I didn't want that. And I'm sure that many of you can probably relate to that. Because fire hurts. As you have, probably many of you have touched a pan that's hot and burned yourself. Came too close to a campfire and burned yourself. It hurts. So sometimes we say, fire, fall down, fire, fall down. God, I want your fire to fall down upon me. But is that what we really want? But that's what God wants for us. Because sometimes we've got to be hurt. We've got to go through the pains in order for the healing to come out. Right? Sometimes it doesn't feel good to confess the things in your life, to say, God, I need you. I need you to heal my brokenness, to fix my brokenness, to shower your fire upon me. Even though it may be difficult, I need it in my life. Yes, God. Because there's a healing in the end. Because that's what Jesus wants us to go through. He wants us to go through the fire to receive the healing in the end. So when we sing this song, I want all of us, including myself, just to be reminded that we need that fire of God in our lives, regardless of how much it's going to hurt. Whether He reveals things in our life that we just don't want to deal with, in the end, He's the healer.
I've been a frustrated Christian. And this week has been eye-opening for me in regards to some music that I heard over the week. And just like Tyson was saying, it just said simply that I would rather have the pain that brings me closer to you than the pain that would draw me further from you. And so in that, there's some frustration, because who wants pain? Like, who wants that? But I can guarantee you that I would rather have that pain of the growing pains of life that are drawing me closer to my God than I would ever want going the other way, because there's only two sides to this story. It's there or it's there. That's it. And there's no in between. You have to choose. He says, you know, you have to be hot or cold. Those are the choices. Otherwise, he's going to vomit us out. I don't want to be vomit. Oh my gosh. I choose you, God. I choose the pain and the growing pains that get me closer. God, I want your fire to fall on my life so that it burns up the dross and cleans me out and gives me clean hands and a pure heart to serve you and to love you with everything that I have and to love those around me, God. Father, I struggle with that every day, but there's the pain. That's okay. I can suffer through it. It's going to be for a good cause. God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that you're in my life and that you've surrounded us with each other, God, that we can go through this together. God, we're not in this alone. We've got each other's backs. So if you're a frustrated Christian and you need some answers, today's your day. Today's your day. This altar is always open. It's always a place that you can go. The brokenhearted come here. The lost go here. The hurting come here. And they can be restored. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We need to listen to the admonishment of the song, what the Lord was saying through his two servants, that fire wants to come down, fire wants to burn in us, burn away everything that's not of him, and it would bring forgiveness and healing in relationships. Relationships with the Lord, relationships with each other. So I really feel impressed that we need to make this more than just the altars are open, but if you know that there's a relationship in your life that needs restoration, that needs the healing touch of God, that needs the fire of God, then I encourage you to come up. And as we sing this again, because this is where the Lord has us right now, come and just let God just do a work inside of you. I can attest, and I do quite often that in Pastor Gay and myself, he's doing so much of just cleaning up all the baggage, all the stuff that we've carried from previous understanding, previous relationships, and he's bringing healing to our hearts and a confidence in him that he's all we need. And I believe that that's what he wants to do here today. Thank you, Lord.
As we seek your fire. This weekend, my husband had drill, and this past week, the Lord has had me speaking about fear to people, and I live out in the middle of the boondocks, as we all know, and I dealt with this fear a few years ago when my husband was deployed, and this weekend, I was all by myself at my place, you know, going home after work, and fear would try to hit me. Fear of being alone, and I'm used to that. I mean, I can do that. I'm a big girl, right? And then this morning, something I read, and every song on the way to church dealt with fear. The question of, if you took everything out of my life, would I still love you? Would you still be enough? That's fear. The question of, who am I to fear? Am I to fear the Lord in awesomeness, or am I to fear the enemy? And there's something that I read this morning that said human decisions are based on two things. They're based on fear, or they're based on love. How many of you are going to let fear hold you back from coming up here and receiving the love of God and the love of His restoration and the love of His fire? Because He is the ultimate jeweler. He has a passion for you. And the fire that He's going to refine us with is the fire of a jeweler refining gold and silver, bringing it pure. Burning the dross, bringing the purest of ourselves to the top, because He loves us and we are His children, and He wants us to go forth in His name, and He wants us to serve Him every day to the best of our ability. Does that mean we don't make mistakes? Does that mean we don't fear people or losing our job or what the media shows us on the television every day? No, we still have that. But when we come up here and we restore ourselves to the Lord, or when we do it in our hearts every day and say, Lord, I will not fear You in any way other than that I love You. I will not fear anyone because You have my back. I will not fear anything because You love me and You have refined me. You have taken everything in my past and dropped it into the bottom of the ocean. I have nothing to fear. I can walk in love because of God. Let him do that for you. Let him give you that confidence. Because if you don't have that confidence, you're going to live in fear. So I can tell you that this weekend, while I dealt with fear of being alone, and I know it, Lynette, and I know she understands this because she lives alone too. We don't have to fear things because we can stand in the confidence that God has always got us. Always. No matter what. No matter where we are. Same with you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you thought, no matter what you said, no matter where you've been, God loves you. And he wants you. That's all he wants. He doesn't want you to be right all the time. He just wants you to love him and to receive him.
Jesus is my desire to honor you, and Lord, with all of my heart, and I worship you.
Give you our hearts today. We give you our lives, Lord. We give you our souls, Lord. We give you everything that we are. Lord, we don't hold back. And Lord, if there's parts of us that are holding back, God, I pray that you would come in, Lord, and reveal them to us. Let the light of the glorious gospel, let the light of the Holy Spirit shine bright in our lives and reveal every secret place, Lord, that may be hindering your perfect work. Lord, we give you our lives, Lord. We give you our lives, Lord. That's all we have to give. You've given us everything else. And thank you, Lord, when we give you our life, Lord, that in return, you've given us the fullness of life. You give us abundant life. You give us everlasting, eternal life, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your life. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the power to give you our lives, Lord. so we could have relationship with you as sons and daughters. We thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Daddy, for being our Heavenly Father, our Papa, the one that we know has all of our life in His hands, and it's in a good place. So, Lord, we give you these lives. We give you these souls. We give you these hearts. We give you our pain and our sorrows, Lord, our sicknesses and our diseases, Lord, our mistakes and our successes, Lord. We give them all to you, Lord, because we want your life. We want abundant life, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just receive that fire today into your lives. And remember that it's not contained to this building. It's not contained to this service. You don't have to wait till next week to get the fire again. Take it with you. Holy Spirit has spoken. His fire is there to heal relationships. This week, expect relationships to be healed. If you've had relationship problems with siblings or mothers and fathers or maybe co-workers or employers, just believe that the fire of God is going to come in and burn in such a way he's going to heal those relationships. Can you believe with me? Amen. Amen. Well, why don't you take a few moments, give somebody a hug, high five, or a pound, as I like to sometimes. God bless you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Such a holy hum. So I'm just going to mention a few things before we get into the word this morning. But first, I think I'm going to do business first, then I'll dismiss the children just because I want the children's workers to hear this. So Transformed 2-4 is getting ready to come our way. And the men's Transformed 2-4 is April 20th, and the women's Transformed 2-4 is April 27th. And then I think it's May 4th or 5th or something like that will be the youth. This spring, we have decided to not do a children's, but we will do it in the fall. So it will just be a youth Transformed. Anyway, so we have envelopes, and we started over here last week, so I'm going to start over here this week because y'all are just like, you're stuck in a rut. Most of you sit in the same seat, and you guys over here didn't get any. So we'll start over here. And did you pass them out, Tara? But you're going down, right? Do you want to pass them out for me, Vicki? Just raise your hand if you'd like an envelope to Transform 2-4. And again, it's a Saturday. Cost is $20. It includes lunch, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Vicki, start over here, though, because they already got theirs. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and it is an intense day of awesomeness from the Lord, and we love it. It's just, oh, it's so exciting. And if you've been before and you say, oh, I don't need to go again, let me just say something. We leaders have been through it a gazillion times. Is that even a word? But a lot. And every single time, I get something out of it, honestly. So, and God is so faithful. He's gracious. He reveals things. So please try and think about it and pray about, really pray about it and ask God, and he'll direct you. And I believe that you will never regret the decision you make to come to Transform 2-4. Can I just see a raise of hands of how many people have been to Transform 2-4? Okay, so that tells you. And put those down. And how many of you that raised your hand are coming again? Okay, enough said. All right, thank you, Vicki, very much. All right, the next thing is that we are now getting ready for a new season of host-homing our prayer on Saturday nights. So if you would like to host it in your home, please make sure that you sign up. Please check your calendar and make sure that you're clear before you sign up. It would be helpful. And April 27th, we already have that filled. Oh, April 27th is Transform, so we won't be having it that Saturday. So I'm going to just cross it out with my trusty red pen real quick. It's not on there. And then we're going to start right over here. And sign up if you'd like to have it in your home. It is. It's really awesome. Okay, the last thing I want to talk about is our women's conference is this next coming Saturday, Friday, Saturday. We're so excited about going. So far, I have 17 women signed up, and it is not too late. If you want to go, the cost is $70. The $70 includes the travel there. It includes your hotel bill for that night. And it includes the cost of the conference. You cannot beat that. That is just a really good deal. So if you would like to go, please come up afterwards and see me. And if you have already signed up, I need your money today. Okay, so if you have issues with that, just let me know. We'll try and figure out what we can do. But please make sure if you can, I need you to pay today because we have to write checks to the hotel and to the church that we're going to. So anyway, so just come see me right after church and we'll get it all figured up. I know, I'm not done yet. Children, will you like to come forward, please? Now I got... Just because I happen to live with the pastor, I got a sneak peek of what y'all are going to see today. Come on, come on, come on. And he's going down with you today. Isn't that exciting? And I'm going to tell you, it's pretty awesome. Did you guys even hear what I said? What did I say? I didn't say special guest. I said it was just pastor. Oh, I guess he's special. Anyway, so you guys are going to go down and you guys are going to get to see what he has done for you guys. And it is just awesome. So all of you, I want all of you to at least raise one hand like this. Come on, everybody raise one hand. And if you want to raise two, you can, because I'm going to pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every single one of these that are standing here, God, that you would open up their minds and their hearts and help them, Lord God, to receive from you. Help them, Lord God, come here, come here, come here, to get everything that you have for them and more. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would touch them, and God, that they would be attentive to hear from you, and that you would just bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. So how many of y'all missed Pastor Josh the last few weeks? I mean, he was here last week, but I mean before that. Yes, Pastor Josh is home in the house. So Pastor Josh is going to be bringing the word today. Open up your hearts. Amen?
Three. So, okay, so let's see those hands again. That was kind of wait, you can only lift up one hand. So there's three of you. Okay, one each. That's not bad. Fine. Will somebody lift up two hands? Make me feel good here. All right, cool. Six. No, how many people missed me? That's okay because I don't come to church for you either. I don't. What? It fits right into the message, actually. I come for Jesus. What? Well, the first question I was going to ask is, what do you guys come here for? Well, now, yeah, but before I said that, before I gave you the golden answer, what was it, huh? Huh? Your, the coffee? Huh? The hospitality? Gossip. That's terrible. All right. Well, here's something pretty cool. When we were all up here and praying, and I overheard Mr. Jackson, he was asked for prayer. Oh, sorry, you're not at work. I overheard Jay respond to somebody about prayer. What can I pray? Can I pray for you guys? And what would it be for? I don't know, something like that. And your answer was? That Jesus would be the foundation of their marriage. And I was blown away. I said, what'd you say? Good. No, good blown away. Not surprised or shocked, but go figure. So let's just go straight to the scriptures then. And let's see. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 24. And the title for this particular paragraph is Building on a Solid Foundation. So, of course, when I heard that, I was like, oh, this is cool. Huh? Y'all following me? Yep. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you so much, God, for who you are. Thank you so much for gathering us together, for calling us by name, for saving us from ourselves, Lord, from taking us from darkness and into your marvelous light. Father, you are awesome in every way. Lord, today we're here, Father, to worship you, God. We're here to honor you, Father. And it is such a honor to come together in the name of Jesus, to lift up your name among brothers and sisters, Father, that in one accord that we can together glorify you, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you that there is strength in numbers and even greater strength in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we bless you. Amen. That was a good prayer. So, thank you, Jesus. Hi, Ashton. How are you? That's cool. How long you been in town? A couple days? Oh. How long are you going to be here? Oh. Well, hi and bye. Everybody, this is where you stand up. Let's give her a big hand. Come on, stand up. This is Ashton, a dear friend and member of our church. Actually, she used to be a member of Church on the Move, just like all of us. But anyways, good to see you, Ashton. All right, scripture says this, Matthew 7 and verse 24. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. On solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents, and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who built a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Building on a solid foundation. Very simple message today, but very true and a very core teaching. To build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. It says, anyone who listens to my teaching and, everybody say and follows it is wise. Everybody say wise. This is fun. So anyone who listens to my teachings, and this is Jesus himself speaking, and follows it is wise. So what does it take to be a wise person? to listen and to follow Jesus, right? He is our great example. The scriptures say that it takes faith to please God. And there's no doubt that in a world of torrents, floodwaters, life, right? Life happens. You cannot get around life. Is that right? And I picture this. I picture building a sandcastle, and I just picture a bunch of kids and adults building and just spending all this time on these beautiful sandcastles. They have contests. But at some point, those castles, the waves come in, and boom, they're gone. All that work for nothing. And I think oftentimes, when we don't purposely pursue God, when we get relaxed, if you will, when we can do that in our lives with things, and we'll build, and we'll build, and we'll build, and then boom, something comes along. Something small, something large. I mean, to each their own, but they will, no doubt, waves will come crashing in. Life, no doubt, will happen. And that's when we get to see, what are we building our life on? Right? What are we building our life on? And there's, you find out really quick, is it on Jesus or not? There's three things that the scriptures say are eternal. Anybody know what they are? Hope, faith, and love. Anybody know what the greatest is? Love. So if I want to build a foundation, if I want to build on top of a foundation, first of all, the foundation has to be Jesus Christ. That means, very simply put, in that scripture, verse 24, I believe, that I have to hear and do what Jesus does. Plain and simple. I have to hear, receive by what? By faith, which is pleasing to God. I have to hear it, receive it, and walk it out. At any cost. And it's going to hurt. Yeah? It's going to hurt. Or is life just one big piece of bubble gum? I don't know. There you go. It is. Who said that? Good. But when the rain comes, when the floodwaters come and they rise up and the wind comes and it beats against your house, is it going to stand? Are we building on the eternal foundation of Jesus Christ, who never, ever, ever disappoints? Amen? He never, ever disappoints. If we go back through Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5 through 7. And Jesus just goes over a few things. He talks about being salt and light. He talks about the law. He talks about anger, adultery, divorce, vows. Yes is yes and your no is no. About revenge and loving your enemies. And basically what he does is he takes everything that the world was built on up to that point, and he just reverses it. He says, you say, but I say. You say, but I say. So before, if you murdered somebody, you were a murderer. When Jesus comes, he says, if in your heart you hate your brother, you're a murderer. So things got changed up really quick. You say, but I say. So he then at that time comes in as the foundation for all of the world to build upon. He goes on, he talks in chapter 6 about money and possessions, prayer and fasting, he basically says, this is it. This is what I need you to do. This is who I need you to be. And you're wise, and you're building. The final comments after everything that he had to say was, you're building on a solid foundation when you take my words and you put them to life. When you let hope be the anchor for your soul. When you believe the words that I say, and when you believe, it's not just hearing and receiving, but what? Doing. And when you love in a way that costs and hurts, much like Lynette spoke of up there, it hurts. There's no way around that. You know the way around that is to get on your knees and cry out to your daddy in heaven. It hurts. The end. But there's hope. Yes, it hurts, but the rewards are tremendous. Do we get rewarded every? I mean, that's a tricky one, because there are rewards here. If your hope is in Christ, you're rewarded. But then even when you step your feet into heaven, when you pass from this life to the real life, the true life, then you get your rewards. One moment. They are eternal. Your rewards are eternal. You can build on a lot of things here on earth. You can build in your own might, in your own power, in your own strength. But how long will it stand? I have a poem. Well, I didn't write this, but I found it. But I have it. It's right here. It's called The Sandcastle. I built a sandcastle. I thought it would stand, because after all, it was built from the land. From all of its windows, for miles I could see, each day a new vision from there was for me. One day the floods came, oh how the winds blew, away washed my castle with all that I knew. With nothing but sorrow, with just broken dreams, I came to you, Jesus, I put down my schemes. You said not to worry, that all was not lost underneath a foundation that was built with great cost. Help me build a house, Lord. I know yours won't fall. Put in lots of windows and make it real tall. To see a new vision, to look past the pain, see over destruction, to look past the rain. Give me a new promise, teach me to forgive, and most of all, Jesus, for you, my life, I live. Again, I can't say it enough. Life happens and there's no way around it. The only way is to build on our Savior Jesus Christ. And that foundation is the most expensive foundation you'll ever come across in your life. There was bloodshed, holy bloodshed, for the foundation, for us to live a life that cannot be shaken. For us to walk hand in hand with our Father, and eat bacon. I only did that because it rhymed, and Ian was looking at me like, when am I going to say bacon? Sorry, I had to do that. I just, give me a mic and we're going to go south real quick. Okay. Little side note, though, they have this place in Portland and everything has bacon on it. So maybe one day we'll be able to, yeah. Okay, thanks. Anyways, his nickname is Steve Bacon. So, okay, I'm done. Sorry. I know you're hiding. Sorry. Okay, anyways, to build our foundation See, I think a lot of times we fall into this. Sometimes we want to be, wow, you are good looking. Hi. We fall into this battle, this trap of being fathered or being fed. And our natural senses, our flesh, wants to always fall short and default to being fed. But our spirit wants to connect with God and wants to, rather needs to be fathered by the Father. And here's a good example of that. Adam and Eve, they fell into the lie, into the trap of being fed. See, they were fed. And things changed dramatically, as I like to say, in an instant. Where Jesus, he had the opportunity, as we all know from the scriptures, to be fed, but rather he chose to be fathered. You guys with me? He chose to be fathered. And the fed is such an instantaneous, not lasting gratification that has gone with the wind. And the fathered from the Father of lights is an eternal gratification. And it is an eternal work inside of each one of us that goes way beyond that instant satisfaction. And a lot of times, the building the castle in the sand comes down to, are we building it in vain? Are we wanting to be fed? Are we wanting to be fathered? Is it about me? Is it about him? Is it about right now? Is it about eternity? Because if we're building on the right now, then it's going to fail. And our castle in the sand is going to wash away as soon as life gets difficult in any way. Whether it be a relationship, whether it be a death, whatever it may be. See, a lot of times we go and we focus on things that are of the here and now. I mean, for example, relationship. Anything that we put above God is idolatry, honestly. I mean, that's just plain put. So it only lasts so far. The person that you're, the people or person that we put our whole life into, they can only live for so long. What then? The food that we put in our body can only satisfy us for so long. What then? Crazy? I don't know. But what happens when we die? There is no food, earthly food, that will satisfy us. So even food is temporary. It's a means to survive, I understand. But see, we can begin to feed ourselves and put anything that we want before God and maybe not even realize it. You know, I was up here this morning, if I want to be transparent, and and my prayer was basically just that I was having a hard time just connecting with God and putting him first. And I suppose that can be a hard time for anybody. But I guess really what I was praying for is just a push. I mean, I just wasn't engaging like I don't know. So I'm just up there just saying, God, here's my heart, you know, and realizing that yes, God is here, and I love it when we come together, but realizing the opportunity was there. And I also realized that I have that same opportunity when I get home, when I have that same opportunity when I'm driving. I have the same opportunity the other 6 days of the week. Something that I feel is very important that as a side note, we want to be careful not to limit God to a building, a location, a person. You know, maybe somebody that's prayed for you and there's, you know, it was a super great experience or whatever, and God used them. And so you sometimes go, well, I need them to pray for me. Okay, I'm not going to say that's wrong, but I am going to say that we each have the unique ability, thanks to Jesus Christ, that solid eternal foundation, to come before the throne of God at any time, night or day. He can wake you up out of your sleep like he did me this morning, bright and early. Why does he do that? Why does he? Because he loves me. That's right. That's it. dang it, that's it. He loves me at 3:30 in the morning. And I love him too by faith at 3:30 in the morning. Look, you know, I'm having fun, but really, we're not, just understand that this place is an awesome place. Last week when I got up here to open, I had to fight back my tears because it was like, oh man, I'm home. First, I got to see my wife, my children, you know, different friends and whatnot. But stepping foot in here and a Sunday morning is like, I mean, I don't know, man. I love you guys. And it's just, yeah, it's great. It's like, I don't ever want it to end, you know? But it's not limited. I believe what we experience and the different ways that God moves here when we're together, I know that it's meant for every day, for all the time. He's not a limited or restricted God, okay? He wants to father us on a Sunday morning at 11 or on a Tuesday evening in our bed or 3:30 in the morning or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. He wants to father us. See, we have a desire in us to be fulfilled, and we have to constantly welcome and entertain the presence of the Holy Spirit so that we are constantly in relationship and not setting aside, whether it be 3:30 in the morning, Sunday morning, Tuesday evening, it doesn't matter. We have to constantly take advantage of the relationship that he's given us, right? It's like a marriage. Anybody in here married? Well, that's a loaded question. I hope more than two of you are married, and I'm glad you raised your hand, but I don't know why she didn't. Okay, let's try this again. You know I'm having fun. And I know that there's people married, and if you're not married, you can raise your hand because you want to be married one day by faith. I'm cool with that. Anybody in here married? A little better response, okay. Drinking your water doesn't count as raising your hand, especially when you're sitting next to your wife. Don't, I guess it does, if your wife raised her hand, that's fine because you two have become one. But you know, in a marriage, it takes work. Am I right? So we're married. So we're married to each other anyway. So relationships take work, right? They don't just happen. You're just scooting along and just hoping everything works out. It just doesn't work that way. Well, that's just not life. God has created us to strive, or rather to strive and rest, but to be diligent, to take what he's given us and to be good stewards with it, whether it be money, a relationship, whatever it may be. He's allowed us the privilege of relationships, of things. And so we have to work at it just to hope that, oh, you know what happens a lot of times with kids. You have kids and everything's great and dandy, and then they grow up and they move out and you look at each other and go, you go like this, what now? Right? You do. I mean, really, I'm just being real. So we have to work at it. We have to communicate. We have to be grateful, thankful, and make use of the privilege of having a spouse. Every blessing and every not blessing. You better smile, Tanya. No, before that, she was like, what's he, is he talking about me? What? Okay, anyways. Take full advantage of it. Otherwise, you're miserable. And our relationship with God is very similar in the way that we have to take advantage, get intimate with God. Know him. Just, hey, how you doing? Driving down the road, you know? Hey, I love you. And just making priority in our lives to acknowledge him, to thank him, to worship him, to praise him. And I'm still driving to to just love and acknowledge who he is in your life and that every good thing comes from him. And that he is good. And he wants us to take advantage of that. You guys notice I'm still driving? But I'm not going anywhere, am I? It's weird. But he wants us you know that song, Toby Mac, I Was Made to Love You? You guys want me to sing it? Do you know the words? Okay, that's a problem then. I got the shower version. I can do that one. Yeah, I can't. I'll spare you all, and for all the people listening worldwide. Quite the comedian back there, huh? You're lucky you're bigger than me, dude. Okay, anyways, he wants us to take advantage of the relationship that he offers us. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He says, there's another scripture that's right there, but it's not. And so basically, he wants us to chase him down. He wants us he's made himself fully available to us so that we may not, I mean, I get it that we have to at times, there's times, it's a learning process, okay? Can we say amen to that? It's a learning process. And what I mean is, we aren't going to get it perfectly every time. And he knows that. How do you dance to that? Are you going to turn it off or are you going to just want to watch me dance? Okay. I would need a medication if I had to listen to that all day too. Okay, I'm just... You know, sorry. Okay. No snorting. That encourages me. There you go. Sounds good. Yeah, no, really. You're right. You're on it. Yep. The Lord has definitely given you a servant's heart. Yep. Can't argue that at all. Even if it's in the middle of my sermon. And well, it's not really mine, but anyways. That's right. That's what I said. It ain't about me. It's not mine. But it is good to have fun. And I really am glad you guys are all back because I missed you guys a lot. And it's fun to sit here and talk about eternal things, but have a good time doing it. And I think that it's important that the very, 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 at the very most simplest point of what I'm saying is that the Word of God is true, it's alive and sharper than a two-edged sword, but that it's not made to be like it is made to be an experience, but it's not made to be just something that we do and just kind of, well, you know, hey, we're good, and I read, oh, that's a good, you know, Hebrews 4 and this and that. It's made to be truth. It's made to be felt. It's made to be lived. It's made to be life. And it's made to base our life upon it. If you want to be wise, you hear my sayings and you do them. The end. You want to be wise, you want to have an eternal foundation. I got one more scripture, then we'll shut down shop. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Everybody there? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, I'll go back a little here, 10. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. Verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, and that is Jesus Christ. No one can lay any other foundation other than the one we already have, that is Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. That's not how I want to go down. That's not what I want my testimony to be. I don't want it to be one that barely escapes or barely makes it. Like this, whew, I'm in. That's not what he's called us to, right? And that, and you can take that principle and apply it to your life, to your work, to your kids, barely making it by. That was the idea, the picture that I painted earlier that had to do with hoping things will get good and on their own, they'll just kind of self-contain and you'll be all good. That's not real life. That's not real life. We got to be hands-on. We got to take the word of God. We got to take it to the streets. We got to take it to our knees, and we've got to live this thing out. So to hope, oh my gosh, I hope I, we don't have to live that way. It's not, he didn't create us and go, man, well, gee, you know, like they might barely make it. No, he says, here it is. Here's all of me. Here's everything that I am. Because that's what it's going to take for you to make it. That's what it's going to take. And he's a loving God. And he's a patient God. And the things even that can trip us up, we take our eyes off the prize or whatever it may be, whatever the situation is, something we didn't see coming, however it works out, they're only designed to draw us closer to him. No other purpose. So if you buy the lies that, well, man, I messed that up, or they did that to me, well, that's, I'm done now. No. That's a lie. It's only to draw you closer to the Father. That's something that we have to hold on to. It's only to draw you closer to the Father. So stop deceiving yourselves, verse 18. If you think you are wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God, as the scriptures say. He traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows they are worthless. His wisdom and ours are on two different levels. But we can have the mind of Christ. We can rest in his grace. We don't have to try to figure it out on our own. Again, everything we need to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ is provided by the Father. Amen. One more side note. Truth inexperienced or truth without experience is only theory. We need to live it. We need to not do this. Oh my goodness, I just made it. I mean, I guess if you make it, you make it. But this life is not designed for the, oh, thank you, Lord, I barely made it. That's not what it's about. This life is made to first seek him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. The whole commandments are wrapped up in those two. Everything is wrapped up in love. All right, shall we stand? I'm just thankful, how about you guys, that we don't have to do this alone. That the Word of God is alive, and it's not just a good book or just something to do or to make us feel better or just has great ideas in it, that it's so full of life that if we just put everything we have into walking out the Word and everything that it says, that we're made alive, just like the Word is alive. And that we have a real life and not just a man. I don't know what, you know, oh man, I just hope tomorrow's good. And that's not what it's about. It's about building on an eternal foundation and being thankful the whole way, no matter what hits you, no matter what happens, knowing that we're so full of hope, it's not even funny, because we have the Creator of the world alive inside of us on purpose. You imagine if he's just like, man, I hope they do fine. I hope they do good. No, he's alive in us and he's working on our behalf. Not by accident. He's not sitting back, twiddling his thumbs, hoping that our life is good. He's doing everything he can inside every one of us. Even before you came to know him, he's working in your life. Scripture says that all things consist in Christ, I believe. Let me see. What does it say exactly? Yep. In him all things consist. Colossians 1:17. He has made a way where there was no way. He has shed light on the darkness and removed the lies with his truth. Because he loves us and he wants us to succeed. He wants us to stand before him and he look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Hope, faith, and love. Father, we thank you, God, that you are an awesome God. And we give you praise for every great thing in our lives. You know what? We give you praise for everything in our lives because it points to you. Everything points us to you, Father. You have gone out of your way. You have exhausted all efforts in order that we would simply spend time with you, that we would simply face to face get to know you, God. And I thank you for that, Father, that you are the real deal and that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Father, let this word touch our hearts and become who we are, or solidify or encourage us to remove the lies, those nasty lies of Satan. We rebuke you in Jesus' name. You have no room in our hearts and our minds. You do not exist. Father, Creator of the universe, thank you for dwelling within each one of us. Thank you that your love draws us closer and closer to you. Let us have repentant hearts, transparent hearts. Thank you for creating us. Just the fact that we're alive here today speaks of how awesome you are. Thank you for your freedom, Heavenly Father. We speak life over this congregation. We speak hope and love, truth. May your anointing rest upon us. May we have a hunger and a desire greater today than yesterday, Lord, to seek your face and just to know you. Not to have the benefits, just to know you. Just to know our Creator. Father, may we read your word. And through grace and power of Holy Spirit, may we walk it out so that others will be attracted to your kingdom because of your residence in each one of us. Thank you, God. You are awesome. Amen. What are we singing? Sing something. You are holy. There's none like you. Lord, I pray, God, that you would release your authority, your power, your glory, that we may go out this week, Heavenly Father, and take Jesus to those around us. That we may help others to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. That we may speak of your greatness and how awesome you are. In Jesus' mighty name, we need you in this. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. See you next time.
Sorry.
Well, let me turn this off. That way you don't.